just read a verse or two in closing this evening from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, something the Apostle Paul writes about himself, about the ministry that the Lord had given to him, the work God had given to him to do. I think we sometimes forget that Paul was a human being. We think of him as a super saint, and he was. We think of him as one that just could not do anything less than the spectacular. But he was a real person with flesh and blood and skin and bones, and he got tired. And I think that there were times he got discouraged. We read that when he was in jail, he writes to Timothy, and he wants to be remembered to Onesiphorus. And it says there, because when I was in bonds in jail, he often refreshed me. That word refreshed me there means he breathed new spirit into me. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. That wasn't God. Paul was referring to Onesiphorus, a man. But he encouraged me in such a way that he breathed new life into me, suggesting that even the Apostle Paul could maybe lose heart, could maybe get a little bit overwhelmed by life or the circumstances that he had to deal with. And I think that that's a potential for you and I and all of us in the work of the Lord, in the service of the King. We are told to do not get weary in well-doing. Now, why are we told that? We're told that because it's quite possible that we could become weary in well-doing. But there Paul says, in due season we're going to reap if we faint not. Don't quit, don't get weary, keep on going, put your hand to the plow that suggests hard work, don't ever look back, but continue looking straight ahead. And if you have to face contradiction from sinners, the writer to the Hebrews says, consider him who endured such contradiction from sinners, lest you grow weary and faint in your minds. You know, I've seen young people, a third my age or less, get tired, get weary spiritually, sick and tired of doing right. You ever been there, Noah? You ever get sick and tired of doing the right thing all the time? Mom, does she do the right thing all the time? Most of the time? Some of the time? Yeah, you know, even young people, you can get sick and tired of that. Why can't I just do what everybody else does at school? Why can't I just live like everybody? Why? I'm tired of this kind of living in life. Well, there were people in the Bible that understood that feeling. And maybe it's particularly a temptation for those of us who are getting older. Maybe the temptation is that, well, we've done good or well or tried for so long. Now we're going to leave it to the young people. So here, you kids, wherever you are, here, young people, you got to do because we're quitting. Well, that could be a temptation. We're going to hand it over. I've seen old people do that. Now we don't do nothing no more because now we're going to just let the young people do it all. We need the old people and we need the young people. And young and old, both, we all need to be invigorated by the Spirit of God, lest we grow weary. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, we've received by God's mercy, this ministry. And then he says, we do not lose heart. In the same chapter, it's down in the 16th verse, therefore we do not lose heart. Twice. We do not. Why would he say that to the Corinthians? Why would he say that about himself? I've received this ministry from the Lord, but I'm not going to lose heart now. We're not going to lose heart. Somebody has told me that lose heart means a fear that would paralyze and a fatigue that would make you quit. A fear that would paralyze. We talked about Nehemiah this morning. We talked a little bit about Haggai's day and Zechariah's day. And in both cases, they were involved in doing work for the Lord. And in both cases, the temptation was a fear that would paralyze. We are not building that wall because they said we shouldn't and they're mad at us, so we quit. We lose heart. We become paralyzed by fear. Paul says, in nothing be terrified by the adversary. It's an evident token of his perdition. In nothing. We're not going to lose heart. We're not going to be fearful of the enemy or what the enemy can do. I despise. Am I allowed to despise? Are we allowed to despise it? Yeah. I loathe the last day of Pilgrim Camp. When the bus is about ready to go back to the city and the staff is about ready to go back to their homes and they get up to testify, thank the Lord for all that he's done. These 2 weeks of Pilgrim Camp have been wonderful. But now I have to go back to the city. You're sunk if that's your attitude. You're lost. The Lord spoke to those in Zion, Illinois at one time years and years ago. And there was someone in that assembly in Zion that went, and the Lord said, your sigh defeats you. Well, your sigh defeats you. Yeah. You're losing heart before you even get back into the battle. Like, you know, I'm going back to Brooklyn. And you can't live for Jesus in Brooklyn. You got to move to Queens. And if you live in Queens, you got to move upstate. Then you talk to Johnny and Sarah and Julia and Brother Tom and Sister Mary, and they're looking to move back to Brooklyn because that's where. Where are you going to go? You know, you're going to lose heart if that's your attitude. Oh, I got to go back to school. And all my friends are doing drugs. So what? Doesn't mean you have to, does it? Oh yeah, but they'll make fun of me. Oh, you fear. And all through the Bible, I could take you to 10 verses, and I won't take you to any more than what we just read, but all over the Bible, don't get weary, don't lose heart, keep on, continue, hold on to the end. It's not you who begin the race, it's you who finish the race. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And on and on and on again, all through the New Testament, don't lose heart, don't be discouraged, don't become fearful. You go back to the Old Testament, and the Lord was saying that to Joshua. You're about ready to take over the reins that Moses once held. Now, Joshua, don't be fearful and don't be dismayed. Why not? They've got, you know, Anak sons are living in there. They're giants in that land. And to top it off, those giants got six fingers. I mean, anybody with six fingers on their hands or six toes on their feet. Imagine the problems that would create. How do you go shopping for gloves? Well, what do I do with this one? What do you go online. You couldn't even find that online. You could find almost anything online, but you can't even find six-fingered gloves. Or what do you do with the extra toe if you're wearing sandals? Which one do you leave out? I mean, it's a problem that you have. But to top it off, these guys were big. The Hittites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Manizzites, the Willizzites, the Aldazites, and all of them in that land. And what does the Lord say to Joshua? Every place the sole of your foot is going to tread on, it's yours. I've given it to you. Do not be fearful and do not be dismayed. Don't. Because once you let fear get into your heart, it'll paralyze your faith. And you'll be rendered useless. And so, we're not going to lose heart, Paul writes. Don't lose heart. Don't become not only paralyzed by fear, but fatigued. I think there are an awful lot of people that get beat so many different ways, and by the time they get to the end of the work week or school week or whatever, they're fatigued. We need a fresh supply. There is a river. There is a river. The streams whereof make glad the city of God. There is a river that flows. Though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, God is a refuge. God is a very present help in our times of trouble. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though we have to deal with a light affliction, which is but for a moment. Did you ever read what he's talking about, his light affliction? Three times I was beaten with rods. Many times was I shipwrecked, and they dragged me out of the city twice for dead. And this is a light affliction, which is but for a moment. And he's writing to a bunch of people who are being persecuted for their faith and for righteousness' sake. And he says, don't lose heart. Don't get fatigued. Don't become fearful and overwhelmed. Resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. And just one more verse in closing, that same chapter, the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we do not, verse 16, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Now, I don't like to admit that. And I know the Lord is for the body, and the body's for the Lord, and the Lord has divine not only healing, but strength and health. But, you know, the longer I go on, the more I realize that this body, although I was training to be physical education, I'm nothing but a mess. And it seems to get messier. You know, every other year I make it to camp. Here I am Memorial Day. I was here last year Memorial Day too. And that was the end of it until this year Memorial Day. I had no idea that I was going to have surgery. And then I had no idea that I was going to have a pulmonary embolus right after the surgery. And then I had no idea that my wife was going to have West Nile meningitis. And then I had no idea, Joanne, that my house would be underwater like yours. And lose heart? Lose heart. I was losing heart until Brother Gordon Walfogel called me up. There I am laying in the hospital. Ernie! You know, you can't get away from these men sometimes. And thank God you can't. Ernie, here I am. You know, what am I doing laying in this hospital? Oh, you could have died from this, and you could have died from that. I could have been dead. I'm like a cat. But I'm up to 9 lives now, so long, everybody. But, you know, no, not really. Dear Lord, strike that from the record. I didn't mean that. But here is Brother Gordon at the other end, not Brother Gardner, but Brother Walfogel. Ernie, look for the good. Yeah, all right, Uncle Gordon. No, look for the good. There's good in this. There's good in the surgery. And now I've just finished with that. Now here I'm lying in the hospital. I can't get to camp. I want to go to camp. I can't do this and where I'm supposed to go next. I can't do nothing from nothing. There's good in this. There's good in this. All things work together for good. So look for the good. All right, Uncle Gordon, I'll look for the good. I'm still looking. No, I think I found some. I really do. I think I found some good. I think these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, I think they really do work in us. A gold that's, though it be tried with fire. We need to count it all joy when we fall into these divers temptations, these trials of our faith. They do work something. They do purify us. They do make us think of the brevity of life and the reality of eternity. And so I thank God for those trials, but I understand something about what Paul writes when he says, don't lose heart. Don't become discouraged. Don't become overwhelmed by the trials or by the problems or by the tests. Don't become fatigued because you feel like you took a right hook and a left jab and you keep on pummeling. Don't give in. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly, you know, could you imagine what Paul looked like? Just think of it. After being beaten so many times and all that he went through, I mean, I could imagine that man's nose was pointing 4 different directions. I wouldn't be surprised if he walked around, you know, like he had gotten beat up once too many. I don't know if he was just flying through life, you know, nothing touches me because I'm a God boy or whatever. I think he felt those things, and I think they took their toll on his body. Outwardly, we're wasting away. But inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. You know, and that's something that became precious to me in the trials. When I maybe was tempted to fatigue or fear, and you could be afraid when they throw certain terms at you and they tell you, you got this. And 9 out of the 12 specimens came back positive for it. Yeah, that's not a nice thing to hear. And you get a little bit, maybe the tendency is, but dear Lord, inwardly, you want to renew me day by day by day, inwardly, though outwardly, yet inwardly. And one of the things that I think I was helped to learn a little bit is that if you are being renewed inwardly, it really doesn't matter altogether what's happening outwardly. If inwardly God is able to renew you day by day, which he shed on us by his Holy Spirit abundantly, renewal day by day, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Then you won't run out of steam, no matter what the body may be like, no matter what the trials may be like, no matter what the pressures may be. And more stern may grow the conflict as nears the king's return. But there's good in it all. Look for the good, that God may be glorified. And to that end, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed. We're being refreshed. There's a river that flows. Come to these waters. There's a vast supply. You know, that I think suggests to me, at least, when it talks in this 23rd Psalm about he leads me beside the still waters and restores my soul. That's what the still waters are all about. You need water. You're thirsty. You're in a dry, barren land, and there's an oasis, a pool of water, and you drink, and you get new life, and you get refreshed. And the Lord has refreshing for us, new life for us, strength for us, that we might do His will, that we might serve Him the way He wants us to serve Him. Let us have grace to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And to do that, we need the renewing day by day. And I pray that in the outward parts of our lives, in the troubles that we face, and the difficulties financially or physically or familial or whatever it might be, and maybe you've been through all of the above, yet inwardly, Lord, there's a spring of water ever springing. There's a constantly abiding Jesus is mine. There's a moment by moment I'm kept in His love, and I've got life from above. And looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. And I believe the Lord has that, and I need to learn to find that pool of water every day. I need that fresh anointing every day. I need that wind to blow that you read about in Ezekiel 30, whatever, 7 or so. Blow, wind, blow, that this slain corpse that's lying here needs to be invigorated in life. And when the breath of God, when the wind and spirit of God blew, that thing stood back up on its feet and became like a mighty army. That's what we need. That's what I need. And we all do. But there's an available supply for us day by day by day. You got to tap into it. So do I. We've got to learn to live like that. I harken back to Brother Edwin. I heard him, and some of you have heard him more than I, but I remember sitting in his meetings and hearing him preach. And once he went out to Brother Wanamaker's 90th birthday celebration. They were sitting across the table from each other, and Brother Edwin said to Brother Wanamaker, I see that you've learned, Brother Wanamaker, you've learned to live by the life of Jesus. You've learned to draw. Now, Brother Wanamaker, you remember his testimony. He was sick and healed of a bone consumption. And he never, to his own admission, he never became a strong, robust individual. Outwardly, he was always weak and prone to weakness. But inwardly, whew, inwardly he was renewed. Boy, let me tell you, was he renewed day by day. And Brother Edwin mentioned that to him. You know, you're weak, you're frail outwardly, you've never been, but you've learned, Brother Wanamaker, now you're 90 years old, you've learned to live by that life of Jesus. And Brother Edwin tells the story and says, Brother Wanamaker pointed his finger at me. It was pointing all different directions, because when you're 90, you don't get straight fingers. He pointed back at Brother Edwin and said, God help us if we don't. God help us if we don't learn to live by the life of Jesus day by day. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And so I would just leave this with you at the close of this meeting. At the close of Memorial Day, and now we're going into the season in a month or two, and some of you will be here. And there's work to be done, and you'll be serving the Lord, and you'll be counseling children, or you'll be serving tables, or whatever the job is that the Lord has given for you to do. You'll go back, and you'll go back to your Sunday school class, or you'll go back to your ministry, or serving Him, wherever it is that it is that you serve Him. And you might be tempted to become fearful or fatigued. You might become overwhelmed or weary in doing well. Don't lose heart. Don't. How do I not lose heart? You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know the situation I'm going through. You don't understand my circumstances. Well, the answer that the scriptures give to us is that inwardly we need to learn where it is that we can be renewed. We can be strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inner being. And I'm thankful that there's that supply. I'm thankful that we can come and tap into that every single day. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So, Lord, I would just pray that you will help the young and the old, in every one of us, to serve you well in this generation that we find ourselves in. Lord, we naturally, I guess we who are older, gravitate to the young. We want the young to take up the cudgel. We want them to follow on. We want them to know you better than we've ever known you in our lives. We want them to take the light that you've entrusted to us, Lord, and to hold it dear. These truths that have been committed to us by faithful men and women. As you wrote to Timothy, you take these truths, Timothy, and you commit them to other faithful men who will commit them to other faithful men. And Lord, we would so desire that tonight and in these days throughout the summer that the young staff members that come into the Pilgrim Camp grounds, that they will take the truths that they will hear preached and taught, the things that are precious to you from your word, and that you will write them into the hearts of our young people, that this coming generation will know the Lord, that they'll know him, Lord, not about him, not about the church, not about the history of the church, but Lord, that they will all know you from the least to the greatest. And Lord, we pray that to that end, they will find you every day, a new, fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that every day there will be a renewing, every day shed upon us abundantly, inwardly, Lord. I pray that you will give these young people the strength that they need to walk with you in the midst of this world, to do the work that you've called them to. Lord, as we've read these stories in these days, not to cower in fear, no matter how angry the enemy in the world becomes, no matter how they taunt and despise and ridicule. Lord, I pray that you'll put a backbone by the Holy Ghost into every one of these young people, that they will stand true to you, Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, they will not lose heart. They will not get weary in well-doing. But Lord, I pray that every day, they will be true to the call that you've called them to follow you, to walk with you in white, to overcome in this wicked world. And the rest of us, Lord, Lord, we pray that you will help us. Lord, we're getting on in years, perhaps some are. Lord, we've known and followed, and Lord, we're not yet finished. We haven't apprehended that for which we've been apprehended. But Lord, we want to do better. We want to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Don't let us lose heart. Don't let us become overwhelmed by life or things of this life. But we pray, Lord, that inwardly there will be the renewing, fresh wind, fresh fire, fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, breathe on me, for I need a new empowering in my life to be used more for thee. So, Lord, have your way throughout the rest of this evening. Have your way throughout the day tomorrow. And as we go our separate ways, Lord, we thank you that you are with us and you will keep us and you will cause your church to march on and you will lead us forth conquering and to conquer. Help every one of us to find our place in the kingdom. Whatever that may be, wherever it may be, help us to find our place in the kingdom. And help us to serve you acceptably. In your precious name we ask it. Amen.